Good to see you here this evening. It's good to see this good number out 20 minutes early, since we start at 5:30 now. Sorry, Terry. That really was not very Christian of me. Go ahead and open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Here in this particular text, there was a verse that I came across in our Bible class on Wednesday night, our Into the Deep classes. We're studying the divided kingdom, and the more I thought about the verse, the more of a sermon kind of came out of it, and I wanted to go back. So if you're in that class and you're going, great, we're going to have to hear something that we heard in class. That's not the case. I didn't go into this verse in great detail in the class, but I think it's one that is very interesting and encouraging. As we look here in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, we see King Asa. Now, King Asa was a king over in the southern kingdom. In fact, he was the first good king that the southern kingdom ever had. And he started very good. And he was certainly better than his father, Abijah, who was evil. But he started good. He renovated the temple. He restarted proper worship. You know, obviously, during the time of the reign of Rehoboam and of his father, the temple had gotten into disrepair, and they actually repaired the altar and renovated those things so that the worship of God could be done appropriately. He also, while he was king, battled against the worship of pagan idols. And at one point in his reign early on, he went to battle against 1 million Ethiopians under the command of Zerah who came up to conquer the land. You know, I think it's hard for us to kind of imagine that, to go out and to face off with 1 million soldiers of a foreign army. And certainly Judah did not at any point have an army of that size. In fact, the Bible does record Asa's army, and it was about half that size. If you took his entire army, he could only muster about half that number as he goes out to face the Ethiopians. Well, in chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles, this is what he says before the battle. He goes out there and is ready. He's facing off with them. And he says, Lord, there is no one besides you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you and in your name have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you. Now that is the example that all kings should have followed after Asa. That is the exact attitude that we see with Hezekiah when Sennacherib came and laid siege to the city of Jerusalem. And he went and he laid the letter that Sennacherib sent to him in the temple before the Lord. Here, Lord, what do you want to do with this? And here is Asa doing that same thing. Lord, I know that no army can beat you. That you can take a small army and defeat a multitude. Don't let them prevail against us, Lord. So we can look in verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 14. We see that, so the Lord routed the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. In fact, they chased him all the way out of the land. And so God brought victory to Asa that day. And it was a resounding victory over the Ethiopians. Well, after that, because of Asa's faithfulness, because of Asa looking to God and putting his trust and his faith in God, even when faced with unbelievable odds, God blessed Asa with peace. So he's went and he's faced his trial and battle, and as a result of his faith that he showed in God, now God says, I won't put you in that position again. I'm going to give you peace for many years. And he did. And so he had peace and prosperity for many years of his reign. But in the latter part of Asa's reign, and that's going to bring us to our text, the king of Israel, Baasha, came with his army south. And now he's the king of the northern kingdom. And he is evil. He walked after the paths of Jeroboam. And he came south, and he came within 5 miles of the city of Jerusalem and began to fortify the city of Ramah. I mean, basically right within sight of the city of Jerusalem, him and his army began to fortify, literally preparing to put Jerusalem under siege. Well, surely after the past experience that he had with the Ethiopians, surely, when he considered all of the blessings that God had given to him, surely as he considered the peace that God had granted to him over the course of the majority of his reign, You would think that Asa would again look to God to deal with Baasha. Now, Baasha wasn't coming with anything close to 1 million Ethiopians. He would not have had an army. His army wouldn't have been probably that much bigger than Asa's army. But he comes, and you would think Asa has already shown this in his life, but something is different. Instead of looking to God, instead of praying to God and saying, God, I know that no matter what Baasha has, you will give me the victory. No. Instead, he goes and sends men to Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. And he offers him riches from his treasury and offers him riches from the treasury of God's house if he would break treaty with Baasha and attack. Well, Ben-Hadad does just that. But I want us to think about, just for a moment before we talk about that, Asa gave sanctified items of the Lord's house to a pagan to save him. What has happened? What has happened to Asa now here in about the 36th year of his reign that has caused him to come so far from where he was when he stood on that field of battle that day looking at 1 million Ethiopians before him and saying, Lord, you can win it for us? You know, if you look at it from just strictly a leadership standpoint or a worldly standpoint, go forward into the story, it works. Ben-Hadad said, hey, thanks, I like the gift. Here's my army. He sends it into northern Israel. They take a bunch of cities, including the city of Dan, where one of the golden calves were that they worshipped. And he sends his armies in. Of course, Baasha finds out that the army of Syria has invaded the northern part of his country. He uproots his army out of Ramah near Jerusalem, and he runs north to deal with it. The plan worked. It would be considered in our world a very strategic and smart and wise move by a leader in what Asa did. So all is good. In fact, they leave, and they leave so fast that they leave all the materials that they had for fortification. So what does Asa do? He says, all the people come with me, and all the people of Judah go up there, they get the materials, and they fortify in case he comes back. I mean, this just looks like it worked out perfect. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning with verse 7. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, you know, before we read what he says, if you were a king, I just don't know, you know, when you got that word that a prophet was coming in to see you, wouldn't that make you nervous just a little bit, give you butterflies? He said, came to him and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Aram, or Syria, and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubim an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. You have acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars. So let's think about three things here with Asa. Asa's mistake was that he relied on Ben-Hadad instead of relying on the Lord God. Now, Asa's failure was that Asa failed to remember what God had already done for him. See, Hanani, he reminds him, doesn't he? Really, he goes, Baasha wasn't anything compared to the Ethiopians and the Lubim that came before you with horses and chariots, and you didn't remember how the Lord delivered them into your hand? So his failure was a failure to remember what God had done, and his loss was God's blessings and the peace that God provided to him. But I want us to think for just a moment about verse 9. I love this verse. It says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Did you know tonight that God is searching? that God's looking from one corner of this world to the other, looking at each heart, searching for something. He is searching for what? Two things. First, God is searching for people He may strongly support. Anybody here feel like they need some support from God? I take just regular support, but I really like strong support, right? I take both. But God is searching to help. He's searching to support. God is not begrudging with His blessings. It's not like He's going, oh, this is mine, I really don't want to give it to you, but if I have to, I will. No, He wants to give it away. It's like He's got a room full of presents, and He's trying to find somebody to give them to. Who can I find to give my blessings to? Who can I give them to that will use them for my honor and my glory? You know, we go forward to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, where Jesus there in the Sermon on the Mount says, "For He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Now, here He's talking about loving your enemies. That, you know, we should be good and we love our enemies and we pray for them and we want the very best for them. Just like even with God's blessings, they are so great and so bountiful that they flow over. He may be providing rain to a faithful one of His, but it's going to rain on the unfaithful guy next door. God's blessings are like that. They just spill over onto everybody around us. That's how plentiful they are. They are overflowing. And they spill over on those that they're not even necessarily intended for. God wanted to bless Israel. He wanted so badly to bless that nation of people, to give them so much, and yet they prevented Him from being able to do it. Look at Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26, great chapter in regard to God wanting to bless them. Beginning with verse 1, it says, "You shall not make for yourselves idols, nor shall you set up for yourselves an image or a sacred pillar, nor shall you place a figured stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments," there it is. If you do this, I want to bless you, but you're going to have to do something. "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I shall give you rains in their season so that the land will yield its produce and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. Indeed, your threshing will last for you until grape gathering, and grape gathering will last until sowing time. You will thus eat your food to the full and live securely in your land." I'll give you food all the time, God says. "I shall also grant peace in the land so that you," Asa, "receive this peace. I shall also grant peace in the land so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble. I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from the land and no sword will pass through your land. But you will chase your enemies and they will fall before you by the sword. 5 of you will chase 100 and 100 of you will chase 10,000 and your enemies will fall before you by the sword." 100 of you will chase 10,000 people away. That's the kind of power I'll give you. 1 will chase 100 away. We see this kind of promise in David's mighty men, don't we? When one of those men would stand on the battlefield and everybody else ran away, but they stood and won the day by themselves. God doesn't need a lot of people. He just needs His power, and He has that. He goes on. He says, "So I will turn towards you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. You will eat the old supply and clear out the old because of the new. Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt so that you would not be their slaves. I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect." Wow. God said, if you'll just do what I say, if you'll keep my commandments, if you'll honor me, honor my sanctuary, honor me in worship, I'll do all that for you. I want to do this for you. Now, if you continue to read that chapter, God then turns around and says, if you won't keep my commandments, and you get kind of the opposite of all that, the bad. He said, then I'm going to cause some bad things to happen. But God wanted to bless them. He's like a parent that wants to help their child. And so oftentimes we see parents that want to help their child. Their child is out there doing things that they shouldn't, but the child continuously rejects them, and it's so sad and it's so frustrating on those parents. And even for us to see those things taking place, as a child simply will not accept the blessings and the kindness and the love that a parent may offer to them. The parent says, come home, let me help you. Let me take care of you. And the child says, no. You know, God wants to bless you. He longs to bless you. He's looking to and fro today that He might strongly support people. Will you let Him? And that brings us to our second thing that God is searching for. And this is the criteria for His first one. We've seen it just briefly there in Leviticus. But God is searching, second of all, for those whose heart is completely His. You know, as good as Asa had been, his heart at the time in which he fought Baasha was not given wholly with full trust to God. And as a result, God stopped blessing Asa. He had war the rest of his days, and he died after a 2-year-long illness. Like Asa, sometimes we do the same thing. We trust things, we trust in other things other than God. He trusted in Ben-Hadad to get him through, but sometimes we trust in other things. We have our own Ben-Hadads, don't we? That we look to, instead of looking to God first, we think we can solve problems with worldly things. Sometimes it's money. You know, that I got to be a success, and I've got to sacrifice whatever I have to sacrifice to make sure that I'm a success, so that I don't have this, or I don't have to deal with that, or I don't have these troubles in life. And it comes between us and our faith in God to take care of us. I got to put food on the table when we forget that God has already promised such things. Sometimes we trust our money more than we trust our God. Sometimes it's our own intelligence. Some people think they're so smart they don't need God. Or even if they say, I need God, they don't listen to Him. They look at His Word and go, well, yeah, but that doesn't really work. I can't tell you how many people have told me, yeah, Nathan, I know the Bible talks about church discipline, but that just won't work. See, I'm smarter than God. I know better than the one that made man how men are. And they're so wrong. And they put their trust, and they forget Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 that says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct himself. I don't care how smart you think you are, you don't know where to go. You do not know how to get there. And if you don't depend on God, you won't get there. We have to give ourselves to Him. We have to trust in Him. You know, Asa will not be the last king to get in trouble for this. Asa is just the first of a number of kings that go to treaties and paying other leaders to come and support them that God condemns over and over and over. Why don't you just trust me? Why don't you just trust me? Why don't you just trust me? I've established that I'll do it. If only you will, look to me. Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount again, Jesus talks about laying up treasures in heaven. He says, don't lay up treasures on this earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break in and steal, but instead lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves do not break in and steal. And He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So there, the thing I trust in, that's where I'm going to be. Is it things in heaven? Is it God? Or is it something here on this earth? It could be any of a number of things. You know, but God says, in that same chapter, He said, I will clothe you like I clothe the lilies of the field. I will feed you like I feed the birds. That's strongly supporting, don't you think? God said, I'll do that. But verses 31 through 34 is the key, and it's the exact same thing that Hananiah said to Asa. When He says, do not worry then, this is our Lord speaking, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? Oh, all the things. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do for all this stuff? I'm just so worried about everything and whether or not I'm going to have what I got to have. He says, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You think it's escaped God's notice what you need? You think it's escaped God's notice what you're going through? You think it's escaped God's notice what's going on in your life right now? See, the whole thing about, even when He talks about the sparrow, and that when a sparrow falls from the sky, as inconsequential as a sparrow is, a small little bird, if it falls from the sky, the God that created the universe and holds it together by His power knows it hits the ground. And if He pays attention to that sparrow that hits the ground, You really think he's missing what's going on with you? He goes on and says, but, Phil really kind of, I think I agree with him that some of the best verses follow that word as he continues on. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things. What things? These things you need. The things that you need in this life, all these things shall be added to you. Not you'll get them because you're so smart. Not you'll get them because you have money. But you will get them because you have a Heavenly Father that says, I want to strongly support you. I want to bless you. All these things shall be will be added to you. So what? Do not worry. We live in the most anxious world probably history's ever known. Everybody's anxious. Everybody's worried. So do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I sometimes have to remind myself of that verse. Get to thinking about what's coming up in the next few days, and I forget sometimes I got enough on my plate right now. I need to leave Tuesday to Tuesday, Monday to Monday, and just deal with Sunday. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 reminds us as we face this life, if God is for us, who is against us? I mean, Asa stood before a million. If God's for you, and he made that clear, right? If you're on my side, it doesn't matter how many there are. I have you. You realize the Lord's church has stood against empires, nations, and armies, and is still here today, and those nations and those armies are lying in the dust of history? Why? It's not because of us. It's because of who we belong to. Book of Revelation, if there is a message in that book that's simple and easy, it is that God will not allow His church to be destroyed. It is a kingdom that's going to stand forever by the power of the Almighty God. You know, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then these things will be added to you. Sometimes people want these things added to them, and then somewhere down the line they'll come to God. That ain't the way it works. It's God first, and then the blessings. It's your whole heart, as Hananiah said, then I'll strongly support you. That's what I'm looking for, those that seek me first. In Leviticus chapter 26, saying the same thing, God said, I'll bless you. Why? If you keep my commandments. Same thing. This is a theme throughout the Bible. This is God. God doesn't change. This is how He is and always will be. You know, if a person does not believe that God is blessing them, and I've had Christians say that, I just don't see God blessing me. God's not the problem. If tonight you feel like God's not blessing you, He's not there for you, the first place you need to look is your heart. And is it given wholly to Him? That's who He looks to strongly support. Are you seeking Him first? Are you seeking His kingdom first? That's who He adds all these things to. Are you obeying His commandments? That's who He blesses. So we need to look there first. Because I promise you, if you're doing those things, God cannot lie. He is giving you those things. He is blessing you in those ways. Because that's what He said He'll do. God wants to strongly support us. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. Can He? Is your heart completely His? See, Israel never would give their heart to Him. And so He couldn't give them those things in Leviticus. And He didn't. And it led to their destruction. But have you given your heart completely to Him? Do you seek Him first in all things? Do not make Asa's mistake and rely on something in this world other than the God that created this world. I mean, even when we think about Romans chapter 1, right? That they worship the created rather than the Creator who is blessed forever, right? There's something mixed up about that, isn't it? When you worship the created instead of the one who created it. Trust Him. Do not fail, as Asa did, to remember all that God has already done for you. In fact, we partake the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning so that we do not forget the biggest thing God did for us, right? In sending His only begotten Son to this earth to die for us. But there are other things we need to remember. on a daily basis of all that God has done. So when we do reach those difficult times, and we reach that point where there's an army out there fortifying right in front of our lives, that we go, God has gotten me through all these other times. He'll punch me through that one too. And there's nothing that can stand in my way because I have Him. If God is for me, who can be against me? See, sometimes we get so wound up about this facing us that we forget the one who can get us through it. And we fail, like Asa, to remember the blessings He's already given. If we make the mistake of relying on earthly things, and if you fail to remember God, then you're going to suffer that same loss that Asa suffered, the loss of blessing, the loss of support, the loss of peace that God the Father gives to the children He loves. Jim, I'm going to do the prodigal son twice in one Sunday. Think about the prodigal son. And when he was living at home, life was good, wasn't it? Son of a rich man, everything you want, all the time, life was easy, life was good. You know, he didn't stop being the son of that man when he sat in the pig pen looking at the slot thinking that might be good. He was still his son, but he had taken his heart from his father, and so his father's blessings of his home were no longer there for him. It wasn't that the father didn't love him. It wasn't that the father didn't want to bless him. It's that the son wasn't there to be blessed. He was in his own place, reaping what he sowed. And it wasn't till he got up and went back that he once again knew the blessings of the Father. See, you may be away from God tonight. You may be away from His blessings. That doesn't mean He doesn't love you. That doesn't mean He's not still looking for you. He is. But you have to come to Him. You have to return to where the blessings are in Him by giving your heart wholly to Him. You know, is God searching for you? Yes. Will He be able to strongly support you? He can, if only you'll let Him. If you have not obeyed the gospel this evening, you have the opportunity to come to that support, to give your heart wholly to God, to seek Him first, to seek His kingdom first in obedience to Him by believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, turning toward God, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And you know, in that confession that we always remember what Jesus Christ did and what He can do in the future. Be buried in baptism. Have your sins washed away. Give your heart wholly to God. Rise to walk a life trusting Him, knowing He will see you through, knowing that He will strongly support you every moment throughout this life. If you're a child of God, maybe you've strayed away. Maybe your heart hasn't been given to Him. Maybe you haven't been seeking Him first. Return to Him and find the blessings and the peace that is only found in the house of the Father. We can assist you this evening in your spiritual journey. We hope and pray that you will let us. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?